Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE. Talk Radio Europe. Your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
The Lifestyle Show.
Selena McKenzie.
Animal Talk.
Presented by Selena McKenzie. One of my favourite times of the month. It is Animal Talk indeed, our monthly talk about animals. Today we have our resident cat expert and veterinary nurse, Kay Millington.
Hello.
Oh, hang on, you're not there. Say hello again.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, hello, hello. We have our vet extraordinaire, Nazli van den Kieboom.
Hello, everyone.
Don't I say that well now? It just falls off
so
the tongue.
Good.
It just falls off the tongue. And we have our newbie today, Louisa Grahalis, who is an animal rescuer.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, hello, hello. Right, let's get rid of this theme tune. Oh.
Animal Talk, presented by Selena McKenzie.
She's put some new ones in.
No, well, I know which one this is as well. It's the singing cockatiel.
It is. Is it a thing then, the singing cockatiel?
Yeah, it wakes the lady up every morning singing that song. It's quite funny, actually.
Well, Mary, who does all this for us, she's an animal lover.
Thanks,
and she's
Mary.
I'm going to make you some new ones, so she has, bless her. Right then, we've got lots to get through. We've been trailing the show as we always do, so we've had some questions already. Feel free to WhatsApp, email or call in if you want to ask any questions. The WhatsApp is +34 645 99 67 95. You can email studio@tre.radio or you can call us on 952 78 4000. I wanted to start, though, by talking about pet food. And there apparently, I'm sure you'll tell me whether this is right or wrong, Nazli, there are ways that they should be stored. And I never thought about this. When we get our dog food, obviously, if it's wet food, we'll put it in the fridge. If it's biscuits or kibble, we put it into a container, plastic container. But apparently you're not supposed to do all this. So I was reading that... you must never store pet food in, I'm talking about the dried food at the moment, say for dogs. You must never store pet food in warm locations because this can degrade the nutrients which your pet needs. Would you agree? Would you agree, Louisa?
Yeah.
You're a dog lover as well. Yeah, okay. Ideally, opened pet food, again, we're talking about dried, should be used within 4 weeks of opening.
Very true.
You would generally do that, wouldn't you? Because you wouldn't buy a huge, huge sack for a small dog. And this is what I didn't realise, but I certainly have stopped what I've been doing. Don't put the dried kibble or biscuits directly into a plastic container. Put the whole sealed bagged into the container. These bags are designed to reduce oxidation and plastic containers are not and can harm your pet's stomach.
Yeah, but there are special plastic containers that come with the food.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Those you can use.
We've got them at home. They're good.
I bought years ago a plastic one from the Chinese and just empty it into there. Well, I won't be doing that anymore. Yep. That's for sure. You live and learn. And then with opened and wet food storage, I've been doing this. Refrigerate opened wet food in a covered container following the guidelines on the food's label.
Yeah, don't put the tin in.
No, that's right, because the tin's bad for you, isn't it? The metal.
It's not good.
No, I couldn't do that. We get the ones that are in the flat. But I mean, she doesn't, to be honest, she's getting spoiled anyway.
I find the best way is just to have, say, the format that you just use in one go.
Use it in one go.
Like, you have those big tins, like at the Mercadona with that cheap food.
Because you can buy the small ones if you've got small ones.
And they like it fresh. It's like us, isn't it? We're not going to... use something and then maybe, but I think dogs and cats can be really fussy, can't they?
Yeah,
especially cats.
Especially
when you put it in the fridge and
my cats won't eat it
and they don't eat it anymore.
Has to be room temperature.
Well, since we lost our other dog, Gracie is our only dog now, and she's been so spoiled. She has chicken one day, cooked chicken, and then she'll have fish the next day, tuna the next. She's getting totally spoiled. Yeah.
Hopefully with kibble.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. She doesn't, I have to say, she picks it out. She picks the kibble out, puts that on the floor, and then just eats the meat. And I don't really know what to do about it, because I know she needs it.
Yes.
So is there anything else I can give her if she doesn't like kibble?
You could put some tuna oil, from the
tuna
tin.
Tuna oil.
Because that goes into the kibble.
Oh, okay, soften it.
Eat it,
Soften it. Okay, excellent, thank you. Louisa, you are a animal rescuer. Is it mainly dogs, cats, both, all?
Oh, no, everything.
Everything. Right, I'm just going to turn you up a tiny little bit. There we go.
All sorts comes home to me.
Really?
In fact, guinea pigs, rabbits, I had a snake recently, parrots, seagulls, hedgehogs,
pigeons.
We've just met some of the lovely guinea pigs out there. We've got a bit of a menagerie. We must take a photo of Annalisa's office. She's got a cockatiel, is he? Or parakeet?
He's a parrot. Yeah, parakeet.
Got a parakeet in there. We've got three guinea pigs
have come along today.
Derek?
No, we've got Bernadette, Gonzalo and Diego have come today.
So cute.
And are you looking for homes for them?
They actually are, yes.
They are.
Yeah. There are 22 looking for homes right now.
Oh my goodness. If any of you listening can give a lovely little guinea pig a home, they're great. I used to breed guinea pigs. They're so cute, so cute. Right. First of all, Nazli, you want to mention the tender that Estepona Council has put out to comply with the law for... I'll let you say. I won't read the rest. You tell
me. Okay, so we're not talking about the medication law this time. We're talking about the animal protection law. And that states that the council, the Ayuntamiento, has to provide 24/7, veterinary care, shelter, treatment. And, of course, that has to be done. Yeah. Now, I have made for Adana, I've done the informe zootecnico, because they are a nucleo zoologico, so that's a whole dossier of the premises, how they clean, how they treat the animals, what they feed, the whole thing. That was all fine. And now they've come with a extra thing, is that they have to have vibration and noise in an official... say research.
Why?
Yeah. Why? Everybody knows where Adana is. It's high up on a hill. The first house is like a kilometer away.
Yeah.
So I put in an annex and said, listen, it's not applicable because of the location. They don't accept it. They want a company to do it and it's going to cost them 8,000 euros.
Oh, you're kidding.
That is insane.
That's just crazy. Insane.
And then now they've put out a tender for people to open a shelter.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, Adana's been there for what, 30 years? They don't do cats, so we'll have to add that to it. But why would they have to do a tender?
Yeah.
Just give them the license and go on.
I don't understand it. They seem to want to make things as difficult as possible. Mm. Just doesn't make
any
sense.
That's what it feels like.
Is there anything we can do? Can we campaign?
Exactly. They'll probably need the money to get that done. Yeah. So anyone who can donate some money to Adana for that would be perfect.
Excellent. Okie dokie. Kay.
Yes.
Birds, seagulls being intoxicated.
Yes. So me and Louisa can probably both talk about this because we've rescued a lot of birds together. But I've had quite a lot of calls, and of course a lot of people know of my friend Monica, the seagull healer, as well. Sometimes if she's out of reach, she'll contact me to go pick up a seagull. And a lot of the socceristas, the lifeguards, are so brilliant now. If they find an injured seagull or an intoxicated seagull, they will keep them, and then a volunteer would go pick them up. So we're always looking for people that would help us pick up injured or intoxicated seagulls.
When you say intoxicated?
So basically what they eat things and then it poisons their body, okay. And it temporarily makes them paralysed.
Aww.
And depends what stage that you get it in, but sometimes it's too far gone, but sometimes they can survive with the right care. But I just wanted to say to people, because there's a lot of people that do find them and they don't know what to do, and I just wanted to say, like, the least that you could possibly do, if you're on the beach, for example, if you can pick it up with a towel and move it away from the shoreline,
Normally, if you could, you know, you could tell one of the lifeguards. A lot of them are very helpful, no matter where you are. Or go on to Facebook, for example, and you can look up me, Kay Millington, or the Seagull Healer, and we can tell you whichever area you're in who might be able to help. The best possible thing is, if you want to offer them water, don't offer it directly in front of their head, because sometimes they're so weak that they actually drop the head into the water and they can drown themselves. So I always say put it to the side, just a low level, like a small plastic cup or something from a bar. Give it a little bit of water and then look for help after. But the best thing to do is just take it away from, because if you go home and then the tide comes in, then it's going to get taken away. So I know a lot of people, especially in England, because they steal chips, but, you know, they're famous for that. They're famous for that. But they are, you know, they're lovely animals and they're actually really sweet. I don't know if you saw the one that I rescued off the middle of the highway the other week.
I did, yeah.
But, I mean, I understand not everyone would do that, but at least someone rang me and said, I can't do this, but can you help, or do you know someone that can?
Yeah. Fair enough.
So you can always, you know, you don't have to go running in the middle of the road, but at least tell someone it's here. Please, can you find someone or can you help?
Yeah. So go on to Facebook, Animal Talk. What is it? Animal Talk by Selena.
Yes.
And all the contact details are on there. Or you can contact me and I'll put you in touch with Kay.
Or you can tag me in a post and you can write it on the wall and then tag my name.
Do you do that as well then, Louisa?
I do. And a lot of what I do as well is awareness raising. A lot of people don't realise the function that these animals have in nature.
Yeah.
Yes, they do steal chips. Yes, they are noisy. Yes, they are a pest. But the whole point at nature has every animal for a very good purpose.
Yeah. Exactly.
And actually, seagulls are there. They clean up all the rubbish, which is how they end up intoxicated.
So yeah.
But it's also because, and we humans are the first ones that do it, we litter everywhere.
It's litter, yeah.
And so they come along and they clean it up, and they in the seas, their primary function there really would be to clean up the dying and the dead animals that are on the surface. And they're scavengers, they're opportunists, and they've soon figured out that humans are very easy suppliers of all of this. So, like, we're guilty of bringing them to us. And then when things happen, then we complain about it. So a lot of what I do, a lot of what Kay is doing is the front line, you know, getting them in and getting them. I foster it a lot and recover them a lot as well. But so much of what I do is just exactly that, raising the awareness, changing people's perspective a little bit.
Yeah.
Don't look at it as this
pest.
Look at it as what it is. It's an animal. It's a living being. Yeah.
And they feel the pain
needs
the same.
Just a bit of help. And people respond to that really well.
They
kind of go, do you know, I'd never thought of that. And that's all it takes.
Yeah, it's true. All living creatures are living creatures, aren't they? And I mean, they steal chips. It's not the end of the world, really, is it?
Did you
really
see my baby rat that I had this week?
Yeah. I didn't see
that. Unfortunately, he didn't make it, but he was very, very young. But my friend's cat had gone into a nest somewhere and brought this little rat, and obviously it had been injured. I knew it wasn't going to make it, because remember last year we had the other ones, but I knew it wasn't going to make it, but I made the best that I could with it, you know, but obviously I didn't know how long it had been injured, and they can die of infection. But again, some people were like, oh, he's so cute, and then others were like, oh my god, I can't believe you're touching a rat. And it's like, okay, that for me, I just see them all the same, like an animal that needs rescuing.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe apart from, I'd never kill a cockroach, but I don't know if I'd rescue one.
I do that.
But I'd never kill one.
A couple of days ago.
My problem, I battle with being a hypocrite, because my problem is ants. I do kill ants. It's probably the only creature that I do kill, because I can't. What else can you do? You can't rescue them and put them outside. Do you? Go on.
Honestly, I had all the cupboards out on Saturday night because my partner was upset that he'd seen some ants, but I didn't kill them. But I pulled everything out and I relocated them, knowing that probably they were going to be too cold outside, and I felt terrible, but I didn't want him. I swept them all up and I put them outside, but let me tell you, this morning they're back. So I don't want to kill them though, but
I don't want to, but they are
annoying with animals as well when they eat the cat food and stuff.
I also try to redirect them.
Do you?
And I always make sure that the food bowls with the dogs are really clean.
Because it's a nightmare
just a
when they start.
Crumb in there and you can see the whole bowl moving away. Yeah. It's just terrible.
They're so strong. Do you kill ants?
Well, I have a cheat. We have free range chickens.
They eat ants, so
they do. Oh, I feel really bad now. I've just admitted on national radio that I kill ants.
Maybe we can bring all our ants to your house.
We'll have a rent a chicken crowd.
I'll just get a chicken and then I won't have to kill them.
Put out a bowl with something that they would be attracted to.
Yeah,
they all go into that bowl and you put in the chickens.
Well, I will try that.
At least it's natural.
I'll redirect them next time.
Yeah, we'll rehome them all to Louise's house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We'll have all these ants coming in and I'll be like, where have they all come from? And the chickens are like, oh, great.
That's funny. And you mentioned cats. I know we've mentioned this a few times, but it's really important about cats getting lost.
Yeah, I mean, I do mention this nearly every time, but if it helps one
absolutely.
Cat and someone new's listening, the amount of cats that are getting, like, they get into a new home, they're either adopted or they've moved house with the owner. The amount of cats that are getting lost at the moment, it's crazy. Yeah. You can't let your cat out. It doesn't matter if they've lived with you for 15 years. If you move house to a different location, you can't let your cat out after a few days. And the amount of people that I'm reading, but we've done it before, and you've been really lucky before, because a cat doesn't know its territory, it doesn't know its smells, and if it goes outside and wanders a little bit far, it's not going to be able to find its way back. And luckily, you know, we have found a lot of lost cats, but there's a lot that doesn't get found. So when you move house, a nice room with everything in it, separate, gradually introduce your cat to the rest of the house over time. I'm not talking days, I'm talking weeks, because it can be quite a traumatic. The moving house is one of the most traumatic things for a cat that you can imagine.
But don't they get traumatised being kept in when they're used to going out?
No, because, well, I'd rather my cat be traumatised for a few weeks or a few months than losing my cat. Well, my cats don't go out anyway, as you know. Heavy breathing. Cats should not leave the house. But anyway, no, I'm joking. I know everyone's got their own opinion on that. But I'd rather for a few weeks, a few months, get them used to the house and the surroundings before, if you are going to let them out, and then supervise to let them out. Because if they get lost, then they're not going to find the way back. They need to know the smell, the territory.
Yeah, I always understood that to keep them in for a while is that the cat can recognise the environment from the inside out.
Okay.
So they know that there's a tree, there's a wall, this cat walks through my garden, this happens, this is the front door, this is the window. Yes, so that they have like a picture of their environment, that when they do go a little bit further, they can find that back.
Yeah, and they do have to have chips, don't they, cats, like dogs?
Obligatory.
Okay. And just one thing that came to mind, which I know you've mentioned before as well, Kay, on collars, because the normal collars, I don't know if they've changed now, but they can be dangerous because
they can
hang, can't they?
Safety collars, always, always safety collars. And I always say, even if you've got a house cat, all your cats, it'd be better to have a collar with a name tag. Now, not all cats like the dangly ones, but now you can get them on Amazon with it across the collar, like engraved into the collar.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Or embroidered.
Because you never know what's going to happen. Like where I live, you know, where we've had bad house fires and fires, and then they've come into the urbanisations and stuff, and people have had to leave, and something's happened, or they can't find the cat or whatever. You never know when someone might need to identify your cat.
Yeah.
You know?
One email came through for Louisa before we go to our first advert break. Somebody said, when you have the rescuer on, Louisa, can she give any advice to owners of rescue dogs who may have had past trauma and behavioural issues?
Oh, that's
quite a wide...
That's something that could take us an hour right there,
isn't it? Yeah,
I think the key thing to remember is always, and I'm sure everybody here will agree with that, always remember to keep your voice as steady and as calm as possible. No jerky movements. A lot of people get too excitable around their animals as well. And just, you have to remember just to make a conscious effort to just kind of really be as calm and as steady as possible. Dogs sometimes don't like eye contact. Sometimes they will take that as a slight threat or a slight... So just make sure that you have your eyes lowered, your voice lowered, walking slowly. Don't lean over them, because that's a sign of dominance as well. They're smaller than we are. A lot of people don't realise, they go to pat a dog or go to, and they put their hand on top of the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dogs have real difficulty because of the shape of their head to look up. So suddenly this hand appears. So always, if you're meeting them, put your face, you know, like put your hand towards the face under the chin so that they can see. Talk to them really quietly. Just even, I'm going to put my hand under your chin. Tell them what you're doing. They don't understand us, but they understand the tone of voice.
Yes.
And it's a really good way of getting them, because we're talking to them, we're soothing them, we're helping them. So many people want to go straight into having the solution. And sometimes it really is as simple as just slow and steady, slow and steady, slow and steady, and then the animal will trust you, and then that's when you can start to do your rehabilitation with them.
Yeah.
But that trust has to be there to begin with.
Let the animal come to you and not you going
very
to
much.
Them. Some of them have been very traumatised, haven't they? Yeah.
Yes. I mean, there are some dogs that are reactive because they've really been through it, and then... That's a slightly different, but they're definitely, I would recommend, don't make the eye contact, because they will see that as threatening behaviour. Mm-hmm. So just talking to them quietly and just trying to help them, and just being super consistent as well, just being there, being... And, well, I'm just a chatterbox with the animals. I just talk to them the whole time and tell them what I'm doing, because that way there's just a quiet voice, just telling them what's going on.
And give it time.
Yes, it's not going to happen in a day, is
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Not in 3 weeks, not in 3 months.
Yeah. Some could take longer than others, I guess.
Some take longer, some breeds as well. I'm sure, you know, some breeds just need that interaction all the time. Others just naturally will take longer to accept us. And then all of a sudden, one day, they kind of go, this is my person. Mm. I'm all right here.
And that's the best
feeling
in the
world.
And
then you see the whole demeanour change.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's this wonderful, it's like the sun coming out from behind a cloud, because you think, I've cracked it.
Yeah.
I've done it.
And it's such a reward.
And that little dog is going to be so much happier now.
Cool.
Because they can trust. So just give them that time.
I've come over all unnecessary.
That's really good advice,
it's
Louisa.
It's very good advice. Thank you very much, Louisa. Right, I'm going to give you the contact details out once again, dear listener, if you want to join in, and we'll take our first advert break and we'll be back on the other side.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95.
Animal Talk, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Another new one. Anybody know what that is? It's cute. You didn't hear it, did you, Nazi?
Penguin.
You weren't ready.
No.
It was more like a chinchilla, but I don't think it was a chinchilla.
I love chinchillas. No, it was a raccoon.
Oh. Wow. Who knew?
We know now for next time.
Right, I'm going to read you about the AAA dog of the week. If you want to rescue a rescue dog, if you want to help a rescue dog, this week we have Tyson, who is 10 years old, a very handsome, tanned, mixed breed, medium-sized dog. Despite his age, Tyson is an energetic, cheerful and sociable boy who is looking for a home after 7 years in the shelter. Bless him. Do you know him?
Yeah, he's lovely.
Yeah. If you're interested in this loving and energetic bundle of joy, then go to their website, which is AAAMarbella.org, and his reference number is 24786. There are, of course, lots of other cats and dogs on there that need forever homes. Right, over to the emails then. Carla in Nurcher says, my dog has really bad separation anxiety. I cannot go anywhere without her. Can you suggest anything to help both of us? Who wants to answer that?
Definitely.
One, Louisa?
Definitely. There is a program. It's called Calm, C-A-L-M.
Oh, okay.
And actually, you can see that one on YouTube if you want. It's done by a veterinarian behaviorist. She's called Sarah Heath. And the Calm program very shortly, exists off the sea, which is to create emotional stability.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you teach your dog to be alone. Yeah. So you reward for that being alone. You reward the dog for just lying there quietly doing nothing. The A for to alter the expectation of interaction. So if your dog just wants to be with you all the time and ask for interaction, you can work on that by not always giving it what it wants. And that gets even better in the L, which is leave predictive signals for your dog, which give certainty of your return. So first, what you teach them is that there is this, they call it the invisible dog object. You get an object, whether it is a cup or a container or whatever it is, and when you don't want to interact with your dog or teach it not to interact with you, you put out that thing on the cupboard or on the table, and then you don't look at the dog, you don't touch the dog, so the dog's like, okay, well, nothing's happening here. And then when you want to interact again, you put that object away. Also, you give signals for the dog to understand that you are leaving. Yeah, knowing that you will also come back because you will interact when that object is gone. You could, the other example that they have is when you leave, you stick a piece of paper on the inside of the door. That means I'm going away, but I'm coming back. And then the dog gets used to seeing that and just lying peacefully. Of course, has to have a nice place to be, has to have water, of course, toys, maybe a Kong, something to chew on to keep itself busy with. And then the M is for modifying the emotional health. Some dogs really need help, need medication. Yeah, to lower the anxiety, to work on that nervous vagus syndrome, yeah, that you just calm them down because otherwise you can't really work with them.
Yeah, we talked about the vagus nerve, didn't we, last time, I think. Yeah.
No, we never got to it.
Did we never get to it? So what is, because we have it in humans, don't we, the vagus nerve?
We all do.
Is it the nervousness?
Yeah, it is your anxious highway from your brain to your body. And so if things are not, say, coordinated and you're stressed in your head or with something else, that highway just goes haywire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you can't control things. It's for children, dogs, everyone.
Yeah. And you can supply the medication from your vets if people have to go down that route.
Yeah, there are different medications, some based more on anxiety, some more on fear. Yeah, and some very natural things, just calming drugs.
I was going to say, can you get natural ones? Because some people don't like to necessarily medicate, do they? So it's CALM, C-A-L-M, which is great. And, and that's really good. YouTube, you can
get that.
And
I think if she listens to this Sarah talking and explaining, she'll get really far.
Oh, brilliant. Carla in Nurha, she's just messaged and said, yes, that's really helped. Thank you, looking at it now. So that's brilliant. Thank you. I've made a note of that as well. That's excellent advice. Kay, Stephanie in the Costa Blanca, any advice to keep our cat from walking between our feet?
Hi, Stephanie. Oof, actually, I've been asked that a few times.
Really? I've never heard that.
The thing is, I think it really depends on why the cat's doing it. So sometimes cats are just annoying. We know what cats are like. Sometimes when they want feeding, they do it. So I'll tell you a few different things. Like when they're hungry, they do it. I don't think I know anyone without a cat that
doesn't do the weaving.
Exactly. But obviously it can become a problem, especially for people if they're going to fall over or hurt themselves or something. So first of all, I would say make sure they're not hungry. Because, they normally do it when they're hungry, don't they? So I always say, like, set feeding times routine in the house and everything. But also, if it is really becoming a problem, because a lot of people have actually fallen over the cats and injured themselves. In fact, I'm always falling over mine because they're always, when it's dinner time, they're all over you. But if it is a problem, really, in a serious note, the best thing to do would be, first of all, to ignore the behaviour. Try not to make too much contact and use a distraction. For example, okay, if they're doing it all the time, if cats are doing it all the time, when they start to do it, if you distract them with a toy or a treat before you get up and completely ignore the behaviour and then continue do what you're doing, but get up slowly and calmly and obviously don't punish cats for doing it because they don't really understand themselves probably why they're doing it. But I would always say that's the best thing. Get up slowly and always interaction. Like sometimes, like there is actually, cats can have this problem where they get anxiety and they start circling feet. Now, it might not be that, or, you know, it could be just the fact that they want attention. But, you know, they can get anxiety and they want to be around you, which is a completely different thing, which then I would say set times every day to play with your cat. I've said this many times, like cats, especially indoor cats, they want interaction. Like they want to build a bond with you. And a lot of cats, people have them for years and they don't realise the potential that cats have, how intelligent they are, how clever they are, how they want to play. They're actually very similar to dogs in a lot of ways. So I would say reward them for good behaviour. So once the cat stops circling your legs,
it's like the snarling when they go in and out your legs. Yeah. Is that what she's talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, like they do it a lot, cats in general, you know.
Them,
and I'm not saying they can always break the habit straight away, but definitely distraction, playtime, giving them attention when they're not doing it can also really help. Definitely treats and the favourite toy, or maybe a toy with catnip or something. Just throw the toy when you get up. Ignore them and continue doing what you're doing and do it all the time.
And can cats get, like we've just talked about, separation anxiety? Like for your cats that are indoors, they can get separation anxiety
as well?
Yeah,
they can do exactly the same, but you know, like it depends how old a cat is. For example, if you've adopted a kitten on its own and it's just used to being with you, you can build up your relationship between you and the cat. But then sometimes if cats are used to being with other cats, for example, in a shelter, and then they get adopted by a person that doesn't have any cats, they can also get anxiety from not being with another cat. Doesn't mean every cat wants a cat friend, because it's not the solution.
Very true.
That is, you know, it's not the solution.
Cats also like to be left alone.
They do. But, you know, cats can get anxiety from, you know, many different things. So it's good to know when you are adopting a cat. You don't always know the background, but good to know how they are with other cats, if they enjoy other cat company, or a lot of cats actually are more people cats, if you know what I mean.
Well, Stephanie, I hope that helped. Well, Stephanie, wasn't it? Stephanie and Costa Blanca, yes, I hope that helped. It's good advice.
Definitely distract them with treats and getting them away and not making eye contact. Don't trip over the cat.
Yeah, I can see it can be dangerous.
Because you could hurt yourself and them.
And the cat.
Yeah.
I used to have a dog that would insist on just standing in front of you. Instead of moving out the way when you came close, he would just stand there, always tripping over him. Louisa, Val says, I am considering buying a rescue dog from one of the great sanctuaries here. Please can somebody give me some advice, I know it's Louisa, about how to settle them in with my other dog. Thank you.
Okay, well, the thing to do is tying in with what Kay's just been saying with the cats. What personalities do your dogs have? So you might have this idea that you want a big husky-like dog and a big, but actually the dog that you have at home is more of a reserved character and more of a, so it might not appreciate a very boisterous dog coming in. That's often the case. Consider what your routine is, how your dog's interaction is at home, and base that on the kind of dog that you would then bring into the home with you. Mm-hmm. Work with what you have. So I think all of us have our dream, or, you know, like whatever you're into, cats, dogs, whatever. It's like, oh, I've always wanted one of these. Maybe it is your opportunity to bring it into the home, but I'd say definitely do the research as much as you can. The shelters, most of the time, will have a fair idea of the temperament of the animals that you're looking at. Of course, the animals, as we know, don't necessarily respond the same way in a shelter as they would in a home environment, because shelters, much as the teams there are fantastic and do so much with them, they are still a high-stress environment, which is why we love it when people will foster, because that will give you such a better opportunity for that animal to then go on to be rehomed, because you can see what the traits really are for that, in this instance, dog.
Very true.
So I think definitely start with that. Speak with the shelter. Right, these are the dogs that I have at home. This is our routine. This is, you know, how we like to live our lifestyle. What do you have here that will fit in with that? And so go in with a very open mind to what to what will work for you, instead of
very good advice.
Thinking of, oh, I'd really like to have a little fluffy, or I'd like
hoping
to have
that they just fit in.
Yeah, because if you're lucky, that might be what you get. But they might say, oh, you know, and a lot of the time people have been surprised, you know, like they've come in and I want a wolfhound, you know, something really big, and they've come away with a chihuahua, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So just exactly that, thinking about what's going to work for you and for the dog coming in. And it's going to, all of the themes that we've been discussing today all come to the same. It's being constant, it's being consistent, mm-hmm. it's being calm, it's giving you and the animals a great environment, and then everybody will thrive and everybody will enjoy
Everyone's happy, yeah. It's a win-win situation, isn't it? Val, I hope that helped. We're going to have to take our next advert break, but we'll be back on the other side.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selina McKenzie.
I actually don't know what that is.
I think that could
Very
be.
Little horse.
What duck? What's the most difficult one? Louisa won't know this, but you
capybara.
Yes, it's a capybara.
Oh, we love them, don't we?
We love capybaras.
Capybaras.
We didn't realise what it was. We had to look it up.
A big guinea pig,
basically. It's a big guinea pig.
Yeah.
Indeed. Right. Can you believe it? We've only got about 10 minutes left. So carrying on with the emails. Nasli, can dogs get IBS?
Yes, they can.
Irritable
Unfortunately.
Bowel syndrome.
Yeah. It's a bowel disease. Yeah, irritable bowel syndrome. We actually go by the name IBD.
Okay.
But that's just...
Because it's for disease as opposed to syndrome.
And it is. It's a problem where the intestine reacts to certain possibly foods, yeah, but also to other things like stress, in which it becomes irritated, yeah. And then instead of working its way with the peristalsis, say, from the front to the exit, it starts going up and down. So food that already has passed a certain point then comes back again. Yeah, and that makes everything very irritated. And then in the end, the large intestine doesn't know how to cope. And then starts overreacting with a lot of mucus formation up to the point that it even starts bleeding.
And are the symptoms like a person's? I mean, do they get bloated, for example?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that must be awful.
Yeah. And of course, they can't really say so.
No.
But you do notice
you
it.
You do see it, yeah. And what's the answer?
Medication.
Like probiotics?
Yeah, very often hypoallergenic food, yeah, to keep all the irritants out of the intestines. And then medication to relax the intestine and sometimes even to suppress the inflammation.
Thank you. That's good. I don't actually know who sent that in. I haven't got it down, but it's interesting stuff, that is, and hopefully they were listening. This is quite a big question, I think, but Kay, Mindy in Sotto Grande said, what are the best toys for cats?
Well, there's lots of new ones that are coming out at the moment, but honestly, this is you can say all the most expensive toys in the world, right? But I'm not talking about small hair bubbles because that's dangerous. You can get the thick, you know, the chunky hair bubbles, the elastic ones, but thick.
Yeah, not the plastic.
No,
ones
not the ones that get they can swallow.
Yeah,
a reasonable size scrunchie.
Oh, I know the scrunchies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I tell you what, I've got the laser, the one that goes round on its own. But one thing I'd like to say is they love it, but you should always give them a treat after. Don't, because they get a bit stressed with the laser because they can never catch it. So in the end, their sort of reward for that is a treat. And then, so it goes off on its own for like 3 minutes or something. They love that. But they still always go back to the scrunchie. So I can't find any bubbles in my house because they get taken and they hide them somewhere. And then when I'm cleaning, I find like 10 bubbles under the sofa. But it is important to say not the small ones. You can just get from the Chinese shop the scrunchie bubbles. They love it. Also, these toys where, for example, we've got a carrot. It's like a fluffy carrot and you put catnip inside. They absolutely love it. They're just rolling on the floor with it, playing with it for hours. So, you know, cats really, they like the catnip, but it's better inside something. Otherwise, it
like
makes
a Kong.
It does make a mess otherwise if you just put the normal, they roll it and everything. But I would say that the lasers that go off on their own, because it's pretty boring for us if we're just standing there with a laser pen. If you do the proper cat ones, catnip toys, just the good old fishing rod will... The fish, actually, mine are not interested in the flappy fish. But if you just get a good old the fishing rod, you can just make it yourself with a bobble.
Put a bobble on the
end. And they love it. I mean, it's really important for cats to play, especially if you've only got one cat as well. But also, it's, you know, you're interacting with your cat and you're always building a bond with them when you're playing with them. So I always say, especially house cats, but not just house cats, but, you know, they need mental stimulation in general, so that they're not getting anxiety, so that they are getting the bonding with you. And, you know, even if you've had the cat for years, you would notice a massive difference if you start playing with your cat, because they actually really enjoy play with humans.
It's good brain training well, isn't it? I mean, we've got those puzzles for our dog that she has to work it out.
I know people that play fetch with their cat.
Yeah, I do. With
really?
Yeah,
little
boy they love it. That boy does it. Poppy does it.
Brings
my 15-year-old cat
my
does it.
My puppy does it, yeah.
Excellent. Wow. They love it.
And it is important as well to point out that because when we adopt cats out, we say hands are for love and for food, not for playing. Because what happens is a lot of people, particularly with the younger cats, they use their fingers and the cat's attacking the fingers.
Yeah.
And then the cat learns that behaviour.
Exactly.
And I say, do you know, every time I go to pick up my cat, and it's like, because your cat thinks it's playtime.
Yeah.
So that is a very valid question that's been sent in, because toys are for playing, not the hands.
Exactly. Yeah, you can't then tell the cat off
otherwise
when it gets
you
old.
End up like, I know we can't see, but otherwise you end up with a finger
well,
like
we
that.
Well, we all end up, don't we?
I got bitten yesterday.
Oh dear.
Oh my gosh, eating either.
Yeah.
Well, I think the answer to Mindy and Sotta Grande is don't bother buying expensive toys. Just go to the Chinese and buy some scrunchies.
Yeah.
And a chow's fishing rod or a cane or something.
Sorry, pet shops and places.
Yeah, sorry, pet shops. Thank goodness we're not being sponsored by a pet shop.
Oh, good.
Right, that is it, I think, for the emails. I wanted to read you a bit of a story I read. I've sort of tried to condense it, but it's really interesting. I don't know if any of you know. Four decades after the world's worst nuclear disaster, something weird but wonderful is happening inside the Chernobyl exclusion zone. The dogs that roam the radioactive area are rapidly evolving. Despite dealing with extremely cold temperatures, food scarcity and long-term radiation exposure, the Chernobyl dogs aren't just surviving, they're thriving. And recent studies suggest they're adapting in ways that challenge what we thought we knew about survival. Then it tells you a whole lot more, but it says here the changes don't seem to come from radiation damage. Instead, scientists say the animals are adapting through natural selection and sheer toughness passed down across the generations.
Yeah.
So I think that's
I've watched the video.
Have
actually.
You?
In fact, I've saved it. I've had it saved
put
in my phone for about
talk.
5 years.
Yeah, put
and
it
sometimes
on
it's absolutely fantastic, this video. I'll put it on.
Yeah, be really interesting to know.
I'll put it on later. It's fantastic.
We've had something through, again, I'm not sure, the last two digits of your number is 67, so I don't know what your name is, but with regards to what you were talking about, we have Weimaraners, and it's always been my biggest fear. 2 years ago, our middle boy got bloat. Even though I wasn't 100% sure, I still drove to the emergency vet straight away. They were waiting when I got there and rushed him in for an x-ray and then operated. His stomach had already started to twist and taken the spleen with it. His spleen was removed, but he survived and we were so grateful. Is that the same as IBD? Is that something different? I assume that's what they're referring to.
Stomach torsion.
This is a gastric torsion.
Yeah.
So bloat is an actual...
Bloat is when, in this case, when the stomach blows up with air, yeah, and then it starts to turn so that the entrance and the exit are closed, so you get even more gas production, which eventually leads to heart arrhythmia and death.
Oh, that's awful. That sounds a bit like colic in a horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, very similar.
Very twisted.
Yeah, horses have it in their... it's not called appendix, in their cecum.
Okay.
Sorry, that's bit between the small intestine and the large intestine.
Thank you for that, Leslie. Okay. Right, we need to take our final advert break, and we're almost done for today, but we need to find out all about our guests yet.
Animal Talk, presented by Selena McKenzie.
It's a donkey.
It is a donkey, bless. That is it for this month's Animal Talk. Thank you so much to Kay Millington, Nazli van den Kieboom and Louisa Grahalis. Give yourselves a round of applause. How can people get in touch with you if they want to?
So they can get in touch with me on Facebook. It's Kay Millington. And it's actually quite easy to recognise me because I'm holding a seagull in the background on the background photo. So I don't think anyone else would have got that photo.
Yeah, not of you holding
a
seagull.
I've got my Baywatch bathing suit on, my red one, and I just got took out by the riptide. And I look very calm to say that I'd had to be rescued, but I just wanted to get a good picture in afterwards. So yeah,
the rescuer had to be rescued.
So Kay Millington on Facebook.
Kay Millington,
you can send me a message.
By phone 95280 4165. Facebook also Pointer Veterinary Clinic Estepona. By email info@pointerclinic.com. You'll find us.
That's it. Louisa.
Probably the easiest is Facebook as well. Louisa Grahalis. Mine isn't as exciting as Kay's, but I am holding my black cat, so...
You've not got a red costume on, though.
No.
Well, we're going to finish out with a song, especially for Archie, who's apparently learning to say peekaboo.
Yes, he is.
This is for Archie. Thank you for your time, everyone. Have a great Tuesday afternoon.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels, and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.